It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So I wish you, Son Miller, all the best.
My name is Noah!
It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, right now on the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency at 118 North Mill and Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Call them at 738-5701.
That intro gets me so pumped up. It's just fun to watch Dusty headbanging over here to Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA. And the other part that stands out to me about that intro when I listen to it, especially now, Brian, is my son Miller, or known officially as Noah, his voice is so much deeper now than it was when we did that. I mean, he's 14 now, and he's becoming a young man, and it is interesting how his voice has changed, as it does for all of us as we grow older. Brian Heaney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. You know, when I listen to that, I'm counting up the number of errors I made. There were three lyrical miscues. Of course, there's the Miller-Noah thing, which, by the way, once he's done growing, put this on record. I'm going to buy him a Reggie Miller jersey.
Sweet.
So he can walk around town and say, it's Miller time, and have a great story to tell as to why. So just chalk that up. That's happening.
I like that.
But then I also didn't have the Sports Ticket on the tip of my tongue when I was trying to quote your radio show. So there's like five mistakes right there. I mean, that was like a Bad News Bears stretch of 45 seconds for me. That's what I think of when I hear it. But yeah, I'm nodding my head like yeah as well. I'm jamming out.
You are the perfectionist, my man. Nobody would even thought about that until you brought it up. Now you pointed it out for everybody. Okay, well, it's fun to be with you as always here on a Thursday. And unfortunately, the Sunflower Showdown was not really that between KU and K-State. You hit the nail on the head. You said it right here on the show last Thursday. We can play with K-State. We just have to avoid those big mistakes you mentioned, a turnover for a touchdown or special teams. And that's exactly what happened. It was a pretty amazing. I'm watching this game, and I'm going, okay, KU's outgained K-State. KU offensively has actually played better than K-State offensively, except for the pick six. And I'm going, the KU defense has done fine. And yet you're down 34-7, mainly because of special teams.
Yep. It was so frustrating to watch, because there's times when you're getting your teeth kicked in and you just have no chance.
Yep.
And that's demoralizing. But then there's what we had for the first 28 minutes on Saturday, where, as you pointed out, we had the better quarterback. We're moving the ball. We scored the game's only offensive touchdown 28 minutes deep. And you're thinking, man, if we wouldn't have called that play, you know, deep in your own territory, inside your own 20, where it was a pretty tough play to execute for a freshman quarterback, and he made a bad decision in throwing it into traffic, and you get the pick six. And if we hadn't given up the punt return at that point, you're thinking, man, this is a 7-6 game. We're winning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, disaster strikes of all disasters. 81 seconds to go in the half. You've just scored the touchdown. Your defense forces a 3-and-out. You're getting the ball back near midfield with the chance to possibly make it a one-score game. And Kwame Lassiter, who's normally so sure-handed, comes up on a punt that didn't travel very far and muffs it. And then they scored twice in the last 81 seconds, including a second punt return touchdown. And I talked to Coach Miles about this last night on Hot Talk. Have you ever, ever been in a situation where you were down to your third-string punter? We didn't even know, to be honest with you, who the third-string punter was. I mean, the two-deep only goes two spots deep, and in most cases, you don't have a third punter. I was scrambling to find out about Reese Vernon and who it would be, because we didn't know heading in that Thompson would be out, and it sounds like he's still hobbled this week, so put him on the questionable list for Saturday. And what a difference that makes, especially when the guy backing him up gets hurt. I mean, you've watched a lot of NFL and college football in your days, Wade. When have you ever seen down of the third string punter? I mean, I remember seeing like the Chargers having their punter fill in for their kicker and vice versa when one guy gets hurt, but not two. And then you do this against the team that historically always capitalizes on the smallest of special team letdowns or advantages. They always pounce. And so, you know, heading into last week, K-State led the nation over the last 21 years, as we discussed, in non-offensive touchdowns with 118.
Insane.
118, and Alabama and Virginia Tech had 108 over the last 21 years. They had a 10-touchdown lead. And then it's halftime in Manhattan, and that number's up to 121.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how in the world has Chris Klieman taken the baton and run with it so seamlessly in that particular nuance of the game. Because, you know, some of that is good breaks that comes your way and you're just good enough to capitalize on it. But a lot of it is emphasis on that third of the game, special teams, and then just really being an opportunistic, capitalistic defense as well. And I can't believe how well he's made that seamless transition from something that was a Bill Snyder staple that now is every bit as good under Klieman. And so, you know, not here to throw roses the Wildcats way at all, but you got to tip your cap when it's justified and deserved. And that's what, you know, all Kansas, you know, and K-State viewers on Saturday had to think is, holy smokes, they're doing it again with a different regime, and it's every bit as good. I mean, I've never seen a return day like Phillip Brooks had, averaging 48 yards a return. So we got to be better. You know, yeah, I felt for Coach Miles because they're telling the poor kid, kick it out of bounds. Don't kick it to him. And it's one of those, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Mm-hmm. When you're down to your third-string punter, you can tell him till you're blue in the face not to kick it to him, but they didn't execute, and they got burned because of it.
Well, and in fairness to any of the punters, you still have to cover the punt. Even if he does kick it down the middle, you still have to cover and tackle, and they missed some tackles, and they didn't stay in their lanes. Yep. And it was, and in K-State, like you said, give them credit. They executed it. I want to ask you about this because you answered one of them, the punt the ball away, which that's what the plan was. They just didn't execute it. The other thing was, and I'm trying to remember it correctly, was it 8 seconds when K-State called the timeout for them to punt, or was it 2 seconds? You remember?
So it was 4 on the clock, and
okay,
then they added.
That's right.
They added 4 seconds.
That made
and
a
that
big
was
difference.
Huge because if it's 4 seconds, you just snap it, you run around. And then you throw it into the fourth row.
Right.
If it's 8 seconds, you're probably going to get your butt sacked.
Right.
And so you have to do something. And those 4 seconds meant a world of difference, and it meant ultimately 7 points. And really, I thought that was the backbreaker because if you look at what happened on the first two drives of the second half defensively for Kansas, they hadn't scored other than right after the botched punt when they got the ball on a short field. You know, we hadn't given up a drive all day, mm-hmm. and we give up 6 plays, 69 yards, 7 plays, 71 yards, boom, boom. And just like that, you know, we have no chance. And I think you're in a much different mindset and headspace entering the second half if you don't have that happen in those last 8 seconds.
Let me ask you this, because Miller, or Noah, said this when he was watching the game with me, and that was key when they put that time back on the clock, because right away we were saying, listen, you don't punt it. You just go ahead and run out the clock. There's 4 seconds. When it went to 8, I started to hesitate, and I'm not the head coach. He's got to make that decision quickly, what he wants to do with a third-string punter. But my son said, you go back, run around a little bit, and then you heave the ball as far as you can. As far as you can, and then you won't have to punt. And he said that before KU actually punted. You know, it's easy for after the fact to say, well, yeah, they returned the punt, and we should have, kind of like the other day. Well, you know, you got to leave Snell in there. Well, if Snell gave up a 2-run homer to Mookie Betts on the next pitch, then it would have been like, well, why didn't you take Snell out and go with that great bullpen, Kevin Cash? You know, darned if you do, darned if you don't. But that was something. I always applaud people that say something before it happens instead of after the fact, you know, because it's easy to, you have 2 days to think about it. You know what they should have really done? Yeah, but you don't have that time to think about on the sideline. But that was something he brought up, and I was like, you know what, that makes some sense, because Daniels is good at scrambling and buying a little bit of time, and then, you know, he could just heave it down the field and you could get 8 seconds off the clock. The problem is, if he trips and falls and he's down deep in K-State's territory where they have a short field to go and maybe get one more play before half, or, you know, God forbid, he fumbles the ball, it's recovered for a touchdown. You know, there's bad things that still can happen there, and I guess you could be darned if you do, darned if you don't. We can't assume that a freshman at 17 years of age would be able to milk 8 seconds off the clock.
It is right on the cut line of just enough time to kill. Like, if it was 7 seconds, I think they go with Noah's plan.
Uh-huh.
Because you can throw it straight up in the air and think that 4 seconds or 5 seconds will come off the clock, so you only have to run around for 3 or 4.
Right.
But just think about it. If he runs around for a couple seconds, as much as he was under duress all day and has to get loose of it fast, and it lands or goes out of bounds on the fly with 1 second on the clock, the ball goes right to where you were at, which is a guaranteed chip shot field goal for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've made a percentage play. But I think, honestly, if it was 7 seconds instead of 8, they probably do what you guys were talking about. It was just right on that cut line of an unrealistic amount of time to be guaranteed we will execute this.
Right.
And therefore, they did what they did.
And the revisionists would say, well, see, you'd rather go at 3 than 7. Well, you don't know they're getting 7 before you punt the ball in that situation. I mean, it's easy once you know the result. Let's talk about
when you tell the kid to kick it out of bounds.
Well, right. The player,
that's
the other problem with that whole equation is then you kick it right to him instead of kicking out of bounds. Even if they had a second or two left, you at least be further down the field. And the K-State's offense really wasn't doing much in that first half. Let's go to Jalen Daniels because, listen, this is to me, it's obvious. It's a no-brainer. The kid, play him. This season, you play him. You play the young guys, and it's a free year, as you and I have documented and talked about. But Jalen Daniels, one of the things that impressed me about him is how he can keep plays alive, and he took some shots running the football, which is concerning a little bit, but that's the kid seems to be pretty much fearless. He's raw throwing the football. He obviously made a bad mistake on that pass, although in fairness, they missed a block on that wide receiver screen too. In fairness to Jalen Daniels. But he does have that there's something a little bit different about this kid in regards to he's able to make some plays. He did a couple, really all on his own, to get a couple of first downs. That's why he's playing every week, right?
Yeah, he's just in a different category. And I do think there's more to Thomas McVitie than what the sample size has given us the chance to see. I mean, he made two big runs in the Coastal game that shows his escapability and his mobility. But having said that, the guy that has all the attributes added up, you know, when it comes to the big-time arm, the feet, the instincts, the toughness, he's just on a different level. I mean, you look at the difference from Morgantown to Manhattan, just in being able to make something out of nothing, extend the play, you know, have a pulse offensively. It's a stat that doesn't mean much when you're 0-5, but he's the only freshman in America this year to throw for 200 yards and rush for 2 touchdowns. In the same game, and you know we're excited about his future. So, like you said, if he can just stay healthy and you get 5 more starts out of him, think about the dividends that's going to pay later. Because here's the thing: today's his birthday, by the way. I don't know if you have any birthday music queued up.
I don't.
But maybe you can sing. Dustin can sing. We'll get something going. But today's his birthday, and it's significant because he's 18 today. So everything you've seen up until this point, he's a 17-year-old. He should be like a senior in high school at this point. He can vote as of today, and hopefully he will next Tuesday. But the point is, like, he's done all of this at an age when I was still, you know, trying to be brave enough to ask a girl to the dance and grow some hair on my upper lip, and he's playing QB1 in the Big 12 Conference, you know? 17 years old. How amazing is that? So kudos to him, and like you said, if nothing else comes out of this season for Kansas football, at least we should be able to say we found our guy.
Yeah.
For the first time, heading into a spring, heading into a next season, for the first time in 12 years, we're going to be able to say we found our guy. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway and the first step toward really making a leap. And I think he's good enough to help us make several leaps in his time here.
Just to impress you, this is for Jalen.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Ooh, I like it.
Happy birthday to you.
I like it. Let's sing along.
Happy birthday,
Jalen, but God bless you as well.
Happy birthday to you.
18.
I love it.
I vaguely remember what I was doing when I was 18. That's how old I am. It is amazing watching him run around, though, and you're sitting here going, that kid's 17. I'm covering 17-year-old kids in high school right now. Imagine playing D1 ball against K-State in a Sunflower Showdown as a starting quarterback. It's insane to think that.
I mean, his first start is in Waco, you know, against a Baylor team that was a heavy favorite, national TV. He gets freaking knocked into next week and just pops right back up. And I'm thinking, man, if I was doing that at 17, first of all, my body would be broken.
Yes.
Secondly, I'd be whimpering on the sideline. He's tough. He's fearless. And he's really talented on top of that. So I know it's easy, you know, for the Kansas guy to come on here and try and spin a few positives and overlook the fact that we lost by such a big margin. But it is just 5 games in to year 2 on what is a 5-year rebuild. And Jeff Long, our athletics director, came on Hawk Talk last night and delivered a great State of the Union address right out the gate. And if you missed that, make sure you go back and watch or listen. I talked about how, you know, the worst thing we could do is to pile off the bandwagon right now and bail on the process that for the first time in over a decade Kansas is committing to, which is don't go for the quick fix. Don't go for the JC transfers.
Right.
You know, keep signing 95% high school seniors and understand that it may take 3 or 4 years, but by year 4 and 5, we're going to really see those dividends paid. And hopefully we're talking about not a 17-year-old Jalen Daniels, but a 22- or 23-year-old version playing on his fifth year on campus and leading Kansas to a prominent bowl game. That's what Les Miles said would be his goal for year 5 last night. If folks can just hang on that long, hopefully it gets there a lot sooner.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us each Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. KU in action again this Saturday, looking for their first win of the season, 11 a.m., pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 Lake. Your home for the Jayhawks in north central Kansas as they'll host Iowa State. All right, let's shift to basketball, where KU, this is a pretty big deal. There's talks that KU could be headed to Fort Myers. It could be, let's see here, St. Joseph's reportedly the fourth team head to Fort Myers. That doesn't really grab you, but Auburn, a team that beat KU in the tournament a few years ago, and then, of course, the name that really jumps out, Gonzaga. What do you know about that, and does this sound like something that's going to happen coming up here in late November?
Yeah, I mean, what a great way to kick off the season if indeed it's Kansas-Gonzaga on the 25th. It's not official yet, so we won't act like it is, but there's a ton of momentum behind it. It sure seems like it's coming together. And it comes just a handful of days after the bubble was literally burst on Orlando, and due to some, how do I say this, perhaps perceived to be excessive testing requirements that made a lot of teams that were bubble-bound teams uncomfortable. So that's what happened there. But, let's be clear. For anybody that says, oh, man, the two teams that should have played for the national championship, number one versus number two, Kansas and Gonzaga, now kick off the next season, so we're going to get it after all. Let's slow our roll here. No Dot, no Doke. They're losing three of their best players from last season.
Yeah.
It's two very different teams, but they're still two top 10 teams. And, yes, two Hall of Fame coaches, two outstanding programs, one of which is a true blue blood in a major conference. The other has become a mid-major blue blood that competes with the best of the major conference teams when given the chance in the postseason. So kudos to Bill Self for continuing to schedule so aggressively. And how about it, Wade, in a year where you're literally on like your sixth incarnation of this schedule, having to tear it up and print a new one and reschedule this and move this around and all that, KU's still going to wind up with Kentucky, Gonzaga, Creighton. It's still going to be what it's been every year, which is the number one strength of schedule, number one RPI, number one most battle-tested program in the country. And if that doesn't speak to Coach Self and his ambitious scheduling, and give Sean Lesser some credit, who's taken over for Larry Keating the last 2 years as our primary scheduler, I'm proud, honestly, as a Jayhawk, that we're not just mailing it in, and we still want our guys to play the most competitive non-conference slate in the country, and it sounds like we will if this comes to fruition.
Well, that'd be exciting. That'd be awesome. Coming up November 25th, that's the date you'd want to circle here in late November, and that would be, I think, pretty good timing. That'd be awesome to kick off the basketball season. All right, time for an off-the-wall question for the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Since we've been talking music, happy birthday song, Miley Cyrus, so forth and so on, I'm just curious, what's the number one song on Brian Haney's playlist on his phone or whatever he's using to listen to music with? What's the number one song on playlist? What's the hot song? That's that song right away. Brian's got it all ready to go. It's the one he plays thing in the morning or whenever. I don't know. What's that number one song on your list now?
I've burned through them really fast. I'm a Spotify guy.
Okay.
And they send you suggested music, and so I will wear a song out. Like, you give me 2 weeks of this song, and then it's on the DL, and, I'm done with it. So the thing that I've been into lately, and this is not what you would expect, is a TV show called Songland.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's where they have these three record producers and writers that every episode pair up with a different recording artist, and these wannabe writers that are just like starving artists, 19-year-old kids, come out to L.A., and they pitch their song. And ultimately, the recording artist picks one kid to work with and turn their song into, gold. And as you can tell, my dog Bo is really excited about the show as well. He's fired up. So I've been going through the Songland album, which is all the songs that were on the TV show that have now been turned into top 40 Billboard hits. And if you're a romantic at heart, which I am, there's a great song by a singer called Ben Platt. everything I did to get to you.
Okay.
It talks about, you know, everything you went through, all the bad relationships that didn't work out, and now you found this person and it was all worthwhile. Everything I did to get to you. Ben Platt's a guy who's been on Broadway, and I'm a big fan. He's got the best pipes in the business. If Vin Scully has the best pipes in the play-by-play business, Ben Platt has the best pipes in the male singing business. So check him out. Everything I Did to Get to You from Songland.
All
that's
right.
been my song of late.
I will have to check that out. I like it. I like to listen to different stuff.
Your wife will like it.
Okay.
I probably have the same music taste as your wife.
Well possibly. It's funny you bring up my wife because she is a big Cranberries fan. And Zombie is one that she likes. And then there's a remake of Zombie with Bad Wolves, which I happened to discover about a couple months ago. And see, your dog hates wolves too. So, or likes wolves. So I really like that song. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's after the lead singer of Cranberries. She had passed away. They're actually going to work with the Cranberries and work together on that song. And then they did it by themselves, Bad Wolves with Zombie. And it's a pretty good song. I like that one. Mine is Congo's Come With Me Now is a song I really like. That I've kind of discovered. I don't know how old it is, but I really like it. So that's the answer my own question. By the way, real quickly, before I let you go, I just got this texted to me. Breaking news. It's being reported. Chattanooga Athletic Director Mark Wharton has said to CBS Sports that the Big Ten has denied a request for the Moccasins to play Nebraska on Saturday. Nebraska was supposed to play Wisconsin. Nebraska had guaranteed $200,000, $250,000 with this deal, I guess. Entire Chattanooga team had tested negative using PCR tests Wednesday night. So the Big Ten is not allowing Nebraska to play someone this weekend out of conference, despite the fact that Wisconsin canceled on Nebraska. Any quick thoughts on that? I know it's a different conference and a different situation, but I would imagine that if that happened to KU or any school for that matter, it'd be kind of frustrating. You found somebody that's willing to play. Everybody's tested negative.
Yeah.
They're going to come to your place, and the conference says, no, you're not going to play at all this weekend.
Yeah, that's wild. And isn't the 10 doing 21 days?
Yes.
Test positive.
Yes, that's correct.
So it's really interesting to see the variance between the respective leagues, and because they're so severe on how long you have to sit out.
Yeah.
It probably makes sense as to why they'd be extra cautious on a last minute sub in or whatever. It's obviously frustrating if you're a Husker fan,
yeah.
But I think it's kind of par for the course based on how they've approached COVID otherwise, with, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, they were one of the last conferences to hop on board with actually playing. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, justifiably disappointed.
You make a good point. And the other problem, of course, is that they don't have any bye weeks, and they have the longest quarantine for anybody gets infected of all the conferences, and that's 21 days. So Graham Mertz, who had from the Kansas City area, had a great first start. He's out for 21 days because he's infected, positive test, and that's a long quarantine. That means he misses 3 weeks of the season. They're only playing 8 or 9 games. So that's pretty severe, no doubt. Hey, I appreciate, as always, you sharing your music intellect with me. I'm glad we were able to find a birthday song, and you'll have to let me know when it's your birthday so that I can play a birthday song for you as well, okay?
I appreciate it, buddy. I'm a June birthday, so normally I don't come on.
Oh, well, then we got, darn it.
Year, but we'll do it.
We'll just have to have a special guest appearance from Haney on his birthday. How's that?
I love it.
Hey, man, have a great call on Saturday.
Pleasure,
all right, take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. He's the best, man. Anderson Insurance Agency makes it all possible. Check him out. Farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.